going to do part three of a message on comparing Paul's commission with the 12. So appreciate you coming out on Wednesday night for the teaching of God's Word. What a blessing it is for you to come, and I really appreciate you being here. We're going to finish this thing up tonight, part three. What I want to do is kind of review with you, and so I left some blanks there on the first four points that we already covered so that we could review. I think that'll be good for us. You know, you've heard the expression, the Great Commission, and we hear that talked about a lot, and it's usually what people mean by the Great Commission is they usually are referring to some of the words that Christ spoke to the 11 apostles right before, you know, he went back up to heaven. And the phrase, the Great Commission, kind of gives you the idea that there's only one. You know, and Christ, in fact, gave at least five commissions to the 12 or the 11 after his resurrection. And as you study the Bible, you begin to realize that really the Bible is a series of great commissions. And what we were looking at is this. When Christ spoke to the 12 and he gave them those commissions there in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts, were those his last words? Some would say those are Christ's last words, therefore that's what we're operating and functioning under today. But were those Christ's last words, yes or no? No. Christ spoke again from heaven. He spoke to the Apostle Paul from heaven. He gave Paul a commission. So what we've been doing is kind of looking at Paul's commission, laying it, you know, beside the 12s, and just comparing them, you know, seeing, okay, how do they differ? Are they the same? Are they identical? Do they differ? You know, what's the difference in them? That's what we're looking at. And so hopefully it's been helpful to you. Let's kind of dive into this thing, and let me give you tonight a review of the first four points. Write this in your handout as we go through. The first thing we saw is that the 12, their commission was to begin at Jerusalem. They were to begin at Jerusalem. Paul, on the other hand, was to what? Leave Jerusalem. That's right. And so we looked at that in depth, and we saw that. Number two, the 12 received their commission from Christ on, can anybody remember? Good, on earth. That's right. Right before he left the earth, he gave them those commissions on the earth. On the other hand, though, Paul, he received his commission. Was it on earth? No. He received it from Christ, but where did he get it from? Where was Christ? From heaven. That's right. Write that in. From heaven. And then number three, we looked at this. The 12, their commission was that they were to go to Gentiles only after witnessing throughout the land area of Israel. They were to begin at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then after they had covered the land area of Israel, then and only then were they to go out to the Gentiles. And then Paul, on the other hand, his commission was to go directly to the Gentiles. Go directly to the Gentiles. And then let me give you the fifth one, which we covered a couple weeks ago. Last week was Missions Conference. Wasn't Missions Conference good, church? It was such a blessing. Brother Mike did a great job teaching and preaching God's Word. What a challenge it was to our hearts. And so this is kind of timely, talking about our commission. You know, now, let me give you that fifth thing. The 12 were to preach the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of God, which was basically the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Paul, on the other hand, preached the gospel of Christ and the gospel of grace, he called it. And we looked at the difference in those two. So I'm not going to go into all that again. It'd take me too long. So we're not going to review all that. Okay? Let's look at the next thing. And this is some new territory. The 12. Let's look at their commission. The 12 were to teach the commandments that Christ gave them while on earth. They were to teach the commandments of Christ that Christ had given them while on earth. Paul, on the other hand, was to teach truth that was revealed by Christ from heaven. Now, go to Matthew chapter 28, and let's look at this. What did Christ commission the 12 to teach? What did he commission them to teach? Well, Matthew 28 is going to give us the answer. It's going to spell it out real clearly. Matthew 28, What were the 12 to teach when they went out there? Okay, look at Matthew 28, and let's look at verse 18. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now we know, though, from comparing Scripture with Scripture, they were to start at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then they would eventually get out to the nations. Notice he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have, now here's the next two words, what are they? Commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, were they to sit around and wait for new revelation? Yes or no? No, they already had the revelation. Christ had spent 3 years with them. Christ said, now you take what I've taught you, and I want you to take those commandments I've taught you, and you go out and teach other people. That's clearly what he's saying here, okay? Now, what commandments? Well, let me give you this. Let me give you the blank first. They were to teach people to observe the commandments that Christ had given them. So they were to go out, teach people the commandments that Christ had given to them. Go to Matthew 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at what these commandments would be. What did he mean by that? Isn't that a good question? Good question, right, Rich? Okay, he said... he got a poke from his wife. I saw that. I mean, if he said, I want you to go out and I want you to teach other people, you know, to observe the stuff I've given you, well, okay, what'd he give them? So in order for us to understand what their commission had them going out there teaching, we really need to go back. Let's go back. Let's rewind and let's see what he taught the 12 on earth. Because whatever he taught them, that's what they were supposed to go out and teach people. Okay, so let's look. Matthew 5. Look at it with me. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. He's talking now to the 12. Think not, verse 17. I don't know if I told you that. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the what? The law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, commandments of the law, and shall teach men so, in other words, teach them to break those commandments, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, talking about that kingdom that's going to come from heaven to earth. But whosoever shall, notice the next thing. Now look at this, church. But whosoever shall what? Do and what? Teach them. Teach what? The commandments of the law. The same shall be called, notice, great. Great in the kingdom of heaven. So would you agree with me that part of their commission was to go out and teach the commandments of the law? Yes or no? Yes. All right. Look at Matthew 6, verse 19. Not only were they to teach the commandments of the law, and by the way, I think that's in your handout there if you turn your page over. It would include the commandments of the law, okay? But it would also include other righteous commands. You know, Christ gave them other commands besides the law. He gave them righteous commands in addition to the law that had to do in view of the coming kingdom that was to come on the earth. So he gave them some kingdom doctrine that was in addition to the Old Testament law. Look with me, I'll give you an example. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, is that a suggestion or does that come across as a command to you? Is it a suggestion or a command? So would it have been wrong and sinful, according to the teaching of Jesus, for them to have a savings account? Yes or no? Ah, it's getting quiet. Is it? Do we take the Bible literally or not? Okay, for that time period, in view of the kingdom, that tribulation, and then the kingdom that was going to come, would it have been wrong for them to be laying up treasures in a savings account? Yes or no? Yes. The answer is yes. Okay? So, we've got to look at this. These are the commandments. He told them, I want you to go out and teach people in Matthew 28. Okay? Now, look down at verse... let's see. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Therefore, take what? No thought. Don't take any... Not even for the basic essentials of life, he said, don't even take any thought about it. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, whatever they gave up during that tribulation time period, whatever they gave up in view of that coming kingdom, he told them in a later passage, you're going to get it back a hundredfold over there in the kingdom. So whatever you do without, whatever you give up, he said, you know what? When you get over here in this kingdom on earth, you're going to receive it back a hundredfold. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. How about that for teaching, huh? Don't give any thought to tomorrow. Now, would that be good advice for the age of grace today? No. Should we give thought? Should we plan? Yeah. Should we? The Bible says that we should lay up for our children. We should store up. We should. Does the Bible teach that we should give thought for the provision of our families? Yes or no? Sure. So notice this is all in view of that coming kingdom. He says, verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Go with me over to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. You see, when you understand these passages as pertaining to that coming kingdom on earth, they make perfect sense. Okay? It's when we take them out of context that we end up having to change them around, spiritualize them, and allegorize them. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the what? The kingdom. So what do they do in view of that? Verse 33, sell that you have. Sell everything you got and give alms. Give it away. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sell everything you have, give it away. Now, there's a lot of preachers today who will take these kind of passages and they will devotionalize them, all right? They'll take them and they'll kind of, you know, they'll take them devotionally and preach them in a devotional way, okay? And, you know, but did Christ mean these things literally, yes or no? Was he kidding around or did he really mean these things? Well, go over to Acts 2 and let me show you how serious that these people took these things and how literally they took them. Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts 2 verse 44. They're still thinking now that the kingdom is near. The kingdom's at hand. The kingdom's coming. Christ is going to return. They're looking for it. And so they're going to do exactly what they were instructed to do in view of the coming kingdom. Acts 2:44. Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and look what they did. Verse 45, read the verse and tell me what they did. Sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men, as every man had need. Look at Acts 4, Acts chapter 4, turn over there, verse 33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So we see, now I'm just giving you an example here. I could go on and on all night with examples. According to the commission that he gave the 12, now stay with me here. They were to take the things that Christ taught them in the law, but then also the righteous commands he gave them in view of the coming kingdom. He said, I want you to take those things, and I want you to go out, and I want you to teach other people these things that I've taught you for the last 3 years. Okay? So that's their commission. Now, what about Paul? What about Paul? Was Paul simply to teach truth that had already been revealed to the 12 as part of their commission? Go over to Acts 26 now. Acts 26. Let's look at it. Acts 26. Now, keep in mind, Paul didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John written out, okay? He didn't have that. Paul could have had access to the apostles and could have had access to the information through them, but he didn't have written out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? That wasn't all written and distributed yet. So here's Paul in Acts chapter 9. Now I know we're in 26, but he's referring back to Acts chapter 9, okay, to his salvation. And notice what happens here, all right? Verse 16, Jesus said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen. So you're going to be a witness of what you've already seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. I want you to get a statement in your handout, please. When Paul was converted, Christ made it clear that Paul was to preach according to what Christ had shown him from heaven and the special revelations that Christ would give him in the future. We just read that, verse 16. So Christ made that clear. By the way, this is why Paul said, when he got saved, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said after he got saved, Galatians 1:16. In other words, when Paul got saved, if his commission was the same as the 12, if he was to teach all the stuff and go out and teach people the same stuff that the 12 had been taught for 3 years by Christ on earth, if he was to just take that and go out and teach people that same stuff, then you know what? What would have been the logical thing for Paul to do after he got saved? He'd go what? How would he get the information? He would go spend ample time with the apostles, Peter and James and John. James was the half brother of Jesus. He would have had access to a lot of this information. He would have gone to Peter, who walked with Christ for 3 years. He would have gone and he would have had extensive studies, right, with Peter and James and John. He would have learned the information that they got while walking with Christ for 3 years so that he could go out then and do what Christ commissioned them to do in Matthew 28, and that's to go out and teach everybody. Christ said, what I've taught you, right? So that only makes sense. That's what Paul would do. But Paul said just the opposite. He said, when I got saved, I conferred not with flesh and blood, I did not confer with the apostles that were before me, he said. He said, rather, I went into Arabia for 3 years. After 3 years, he spent 15 days in Jerusalem, where the only apostles he saw was Peter and he saw James. That was it. He saw Peter and James. He was there 15 days. Christ told him to get out. He got out of Jerusalem. He did not meet with those guys again until it was 17 years after his salvation, before he went back to Jerusalem and he met with them in a conference. And the Bible says this. Paul said in Galatians 2, now listen to this, this is amazing. He said, in conference, they added nothing to me. Contrarywise, he was able to add something to them and to share with them all the heavenly truth that he had been receiving from Christ for the previous 17 years. And he was able to teach them the gospel that he had been out there preaching among the Gentiles. Are you with me tonight, church?
Amen.
I hope this is making sense to you. So you know, I want you to see these things because they're important, okay? In your handout, it says Christ would give to Paul special revelation that had previously been kept secret. Colossians 1, 25 and 26. You don't have to turn there. I just want you to maybe look that up this week and read that over, okay? He talks about the mystery that had been hid from ages and from generations. So, can I sum up this point, and then we'll hit the last point and be done, all right? If you can just stay with me, and I know this gets a little bit deep, but I want you to stay with me. The 12, their commission was to go out and proclaim Christ's words that he had spoke while ministering to Israel on earth, in view of that coming kingdom for Israel on earth. They were to go out, and they were to teach people to observe all the commandments of the law and the righteous commands that Christ had given to Israel in view of their coming kingdom. They were to go out and teach that, to evangelize in preparation for that. They were to go out, Matthew 24 said, preach the gospel of the kingdom and teach the stuff that they had learned from Christ for 3 years on earth. Paul, on the other hand, Paul was to teach Christ words that he spoke to the body of Christ from heaven. Paul received revelations from heaven that he was to then go out and teach to the Gentiles. So I just want you to see that. All right, let's go to the last thing. The 12. Last point. Here we go. Water baptism. And we did 12 or 13 weeks on this, so I'm not going to belabor it. But water baptism was a crucial part of their commission and message. And we did 12 weeks or 13 weeks on baptism. So I'm not going to belabor this, but I do want to just give you this. Water baptism was a crucial part. Paul, on the other hand, the emphasis is on spirit baptism, not water baptism. Hey, while you're there, let me just give you the next statement in your handout. Water baptism was a crucial part of the message that Christ commissioned the 12 to proclaim. All right, we read Matthew 28, right, where he said, I want you to go out baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Their commission, if you read that, I mean, clearly water baptism was an essential part of that. When you read Matthew 28, he says, I want you to go out, teach all nations, baptizing them. I mean, boom, I want you to teach them, and then boom, I want you to baptize them. And then teach them all the things I've been teaching you for the last 3 years. Go to Mark chapter 16, if you would, and we'll look at this. Mark 16. And this, again, is spoken during that 40-day window after his resurrection. During that 40-day window when Matthew 28 was spoken. Mark 16 and verse 15. So many Baptists read verse 15, but they never ever quote verse 16. You never see it. You'll see Mark 16, 15 on literature. You'll see it on missionary presentations, but they never quote verse 16 because they like 15, but they don't like 16. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we know what gospel that is, the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, we already saw that last week. Verse 16, here it is. You ready? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, do you think Peter took that literally? Okay, take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 2, and let's see what Peter says. His first opportunity to preach after Christ has ascended back to heaven. This is his first opportunity now to preach to the nation of Israel. And he tells the nation of Israel, well, they said, what are we supposed to do, Peter? You say he's risen. You say we crucified him with wicked hands. What do you want us to do? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, here's what I want you to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. No person was going to enter that kingdom on earth unless they had believed the 12's message and identified with that message through water baptism. That is the context. You say, why, Pastor Dan? Because it was part of Israel's prophetic program. Let me show you an amazing passage, okay? And if you may even want to write this in your handout, and maybe even write it in your Bible next to Acts 2:38. Ezekiel, I want you to go back to the Old Testament, to a prophetic passage, Ezekiel 36, please. Ezekiel 36. And Israel had polluted themselves among the nations of the earth. And this baptism with water spoke of their need for divine cleansing. Look at Ezekiel 36. And I'm not going to read all this. I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights. But you ought to go back and read this whole passage. Look at verse 16. Moreover, Ezekiel 36, 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. He goes through and talks about how he scattered them, but they went out and profaned his name among the Gentile nations. If you go on down to verse 22, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know, now look at this, the heathen shall know, the Gentiles shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified, where? In you, before their eyes. For I will, notice this, this is a prophetic passage talking about the future here. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own, what? Land. There's that kingdom. Now notice, though, to get in that kingdom, verse 25, then will I sprinkle, what? Clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? This was part of this water ceremony, was a very necessary ingredient in view of the coming kingdom for Israel. Okay? Now, that water baptism spoke of the need for divine cleansing. In your handout it says, but water baptism is never mentioned in Christ's commission to Paul. It's never mentioned. In fact, Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Let's get Acts 26 in one hand. Acts 26, I'm almost done. Acts 26 in one hand, 1 Corinthians 1. And let's grab those two passages. Acts 26. Here, Paul is getting saved. We read this a little bit earlier. And I want you to notice the commission to Paul, verse 17. Acts 26, 17. Christ said, I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Verse 18, here's the commission. Here's what Paul's going to do. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, he sends them out to the Gentiles to preach a message of salvation and forgiveness. Is water baptism mentioned in that commission? Yes or no? No. In fact, go over to 1 Corinthians 1. So he didn't just reiterate what he told the 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Look at verse 17. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now I want you to think with me. Be a thinking person, okay? Could the 12 have ever made a statement like that in verse 17? Yes or no? They could have never made a statement like that. Christ sent me not to baptize. Did Christ send the 12 to baptize? Clearly he did. So is there a difference? Or am I just crazy? Now don't answer that, all right? Did Paul think he was operating under the same commission as the 12? Obviously he didn't, okay? Or he could have never said that. And you heard me in the series that we did that Paul goes out preaching the gospel of Christ for the first time in Acts 13, that salvation by faith in Christ, apart from the law of Moses. First time that's ever preached is Acts 13. And the whole first missionary journey that Paul took through all those cities of Galatia, I told you water baptism is never mentioned. Now, Paul does water baptize people on his second journey there in the book of Acts. But then he makes this statement, and that's, by the way, 1 Corinthians, that statement would have been made around Acts 20, Acts chapter 20. There's 28 chapters in Acts. Acts chapter 20 is when he would have written 1 Corinthians. And you never see him baptizing in the book of Acts after he makes that statement. Not that it's wrong, and you've heard me, okay? If a person wants to be water baptized and they've got the right motive and the right reason and they want to use it as a bridge to reach people with the gospel, that's how Paul used it on his second journey, was a bridge. He used it as a bridge to reach Jews with the gospel. But you know, if a person wants to be, that's great. But here's what I want. I just want you to see the difference, that there's this great emphasis on it over here in regards to the prophetic program of Israel and the 12. But then you come over here to Paul, and there's not an emphasis on it. There isn't an emphasis when Christ commissioned him, and there isn't an emphasis in the epistles that he wrote. There isn't an emphasis on it on his missionary journey. There's not that emphasis that you have over here with the 12. The 12 baptized 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 Jews. You never see Paul doing that. Okay, you don't ever see that kind of an event taking place in Paul's ministry. In your handout, here's why. Let me explain why. It's because new revelation came. See, that's why there was some new revelation. Paul revealed that every person that believes on Christ is immediately baptized by who? By the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And I've got all the passages there for you to look at, so you can read them this week. I hope you'll take this lesson and study it. Now, let me end it. Here we go. You ready? You may be sitting here out there wondering this, and some of you may be asking this question. Pastor Dan, why are Christ's commissions to the 12 and to Paul so different? I don't get it. Why are they different? It's very simple. I'm going to explain it. With the rejection by Israel of the 12's message, okay, they rejected the 12's kingdom message. So what was God going to do? God now saves Paul, and he ushers in a time period that had been kept secret. In your handout, it says it was a time of grace unrevealed previously. A time of grace unrevealed previously. If we could, let's bring up this chart real quick. And this might kind of, picture is worth a thousand words. And so let's look at this. Okay, you got You got Jesus and the 12 saying, hey, the kingdom is near. Then you got the 12 after the resurrection saying, hey, kingdom's right there, man. It's right at your fingertips. If you'll just repent and you need to be baptized to prepare for it, and if you'll repent, Christ is going to return. He's going to set up that kingdom. Acts chapter 3. Of course, did Israel accept that message? Yes or no? No, they rejected it. Okay, well, here's what was supposed to happen according to prophecy. What would happen then is the ensuing wrath of God, 7 years of tribulation, okay, with the kingdom at hand, Christ returned to earth to establish that kingdom. Here's the deal. Hidden in God from the foundation of the world was a secret. It was a mystery. Let's bring it up. And here it is. That there would be a time of grace where God would form a brand new organism, okay? Wouldn't be Israel. He would form a brand new organism called the church, the body of Christ, okay? And this time of grace, the kingdom program has been postponed. So in your handout, it says there, the unfolding of this mystery and its truths would require a new apostle with a new message and a new commission, okay? A new apostle with a new commission and a new message. And in your handout, last statement, the commission to the 12 has simply been interrupted. It's been interrupted by a new program, dispensation of grace. But it says in your handout that that program, that commission of the 12, will continue in the future after the body of Christ has been taken up to heaven. Look at the screen again. Okay? Here we go. We're coming along here. Now, look up here. The prophetic program here, this prophetic program, the kingdom program, because of Israel's rejection and because of God's grace, that kingdom program and the wrath that was to come has been postponed. So, if we'll bring up the next click, we're living right here within the yellow parentheses. You're right in here, see, in this yellow parentheses. Well, when this time of grace is over, we'll be taken up, we'll meet the Lord in the air, and then the prophetic kingdom program will begin again. And that commission, the commissions that Christ gave the 12 are going to carry great significance again. And the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached out here like he said it would in Matthew 24. And the things that Christ taught them, sell what you have, prepare for the kingdom, all those righteous commands back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all those things that he told them to do in preparation for this over here are going to all come to the forefront again. And it's all going to take center stage again, but it won't happen until this parenthesis has ended, okay? So during this time period, we've got a new message, a gospel of Christ, got a new apostle, got a new commission, and so that's what we're doing. We're going out, and we're trying to tell people in this world the message of God's grace, amen? The message that God's offering grace and peace and reconciliation to individuals anywhere who will simply believe on Christ. Aren't you glad to know that when the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Aren't you glad for Paul's answer? You know, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? So that's what we're doing today. That's our commission. We're out there preaching to the nations that gospel that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Okay? So I hope that's been a help to you. And as we've taken those commissions and kind of lined them up side by side and simply looked at these things that differ. And I hope it's been a help to you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, God, for your word tonight. And I pray, Father,